Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an update on an array of voter suppression and intimidation efforts underway that will culminate on Election Day. Eric Marshall, the co-leader of Election Protection, joins us to discuss what voters can do to exercise their democratic rights in the face of organized intimidation, trickery, and suppression. Then we'll go to Indiana and speak with Marjorie Hershey, who is a professor of political science at Indiana University in Bloomington. We will discuss the close Senate race and the likely impact of remarks by the Republican Tea Party candidate who defeated the Senate's elder statesman Richard Lugar in the primary, who is now in trouble for views that he expressed in a debate yesterday on pregnancy as a result of rape being what God intended. Then finally, we will take a broader look at the politics of abortion and how they are playing out in this election. Frank Schaefer, the son of one of the founders of the religious right, joins us to discuss the evangelical world's apparent determination to get Romney elected and Billy Graham's surprise endorsement of a Mormon in what appears to be a renouncement of the evangelist's vow after Richard Nixon's fall from grace not to endorse any politicians. And joining us now is Eric Marshall, the manager of Legal Mobilization for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. He's also the co-leader of Election Protection, the nation's largest voter support coalition, and plays a leading role in several election reform coalitions aimed at combating voter suppression legislation and advocating for policies that will expand access to our democracy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Eric Marshall.
Thanks for having me.
And apparently, if you've driven around Cincinnati and Cleveland and other inner city areas where you have predominantly African-American neighborhoods in the key swing state of Ohio, there have been billboards up saying voter fraud is a felony, 3.5 years and a $10,000 fine. Hardly an accident that they showed up in heavily Democratic neighborhoods, and apparently, they've actually been forced to take them down. So that's a pretty obvious form of voter, not so much voter suppression, but voter intimidation. What other examples are out there, Eric?
Yeah, you know, we are very, very happy that those billboards came down. You know, the foundation behind the billboards negotiated to stay secret in their contract. And both billboard companies came out and said, you know, that's wrong for you to hide behind the secrecy clause and either you need to disclose who you are or we need to take the billboards down. And the foundation chose to bring the billboards down, which just, again, reinforces the fact that those billboards were not some innocent attempt to educate voters. They were a targeted attempt to stigmatize a community and an attempt to prevent people and restrict eligible Americans from voting. And so we're happy that the billboards came down, obviously trying to make sure that we empower voters through the 1-866-R vote hotline, the National Election Protection Coalition, so voters have the resources and information they need to vote on Election Day. You know, and that's just one thing we've seen. Something that we're still following up on is we've received calls from the 1-866-R vote hotline about live phone calls to voters in Florida and in Virginia. We've also received reports of voters in Indiana receiving these live phone calls telling voters they can vote over the phone, which is patently false. Just this week, supervisors of elections in a number of counties in Florida had to send out information telling voters that there have been these fake letters coming out under letterhead from the county government telling them that they may not be citizens and have to respond in 15 days in order to get their registration restored, which are not true and which are fraudulent letters. So we have seen these attempts to trick voters into not voting on Election Day or voting incorrectly through these tactics.
Well, the way to figure out who's doing it is that who is being targeted.
You know, I mean, oftentimes these tactics have been targeted at communities of color, Latino voters, new Americans, young people have been particularly susceptible to these tactics. It's actually interesting, in the instance in Florida, you know, there actually have been registered Republicans that received these letters. So, you know, it's no matter who you're targeting with these efforts, if you are taking steps to restrict the ability of eligible Americans to exercise their fundamental right, one of the most precious rights we have as Americans, to restrict someone's ability to exercise that right is just wrong. No matter who you're targeting, we think it's wrong and we're going to stop them. And not only are we going to try to find out who's doing it and stop them, but we want to make sure that we're uplifting voters and we're empowering. That's what's important, right? That every American who's eligible is able to participate, because that's what makes our democracy so great. And so that's why we run the 1-866-OUR-VOTE hotline, where voters can call with any questions or problems, and we provide resources on our website at 866-OUR-VOTE.org, because we're in the business of making sure people can vote no matter who they're voting for.
So, again, I'm speaking with Eric Marshall, the manager of legal mobilization for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. He's also the co-leader of Election Protection, the nation's largest voter support coalition, and plays a leading role in several election reform coalitions aimed at combating voter suppression legislation and advocating for policies that will expand access to our democracy. So, in another very key swing state, Florida, there are giant billboards along the interstate corridor there on connecting all the eastern beach towns in Florida, saying one of them shows Obama bowing before the Saudi king, pointing out how much gas was when he came in and how much it is now. And the other one says Stop Obama. It shows a nuclear warhead with Iran painted on it. The warhead is aimed at Israel. That's clearly targeting the area's many Jewish voters. So that, again, I guess is in the category of voter, intimidation, influence, but not suppression.
Well, you know, there is a fine line here between political speech, no matter how objectionable you find it, and deceptive and intimidating practices. Now, you might find those billboards objectionable in how they portray the president or the issues. But really what we are focused on are specific kinds of activities that really is not about exercising your First Amendment right. I'm talking about deceiving voters, telling them that the election's on Wednesday as opposed to Tuesday, or telling them they can vote by phone. We think it's very important that the state and federal government take steps, because right now our laws are deficient, to combat those. We need stronger laws that say it's clearly illegal to deceive a voter about the time, the place, the manner, the political affiliations of candidates, and that if credible evidence of these tactics comes forward, that the government, a trusted source, the United States or the state government, will immediately put out corrective information to say that, no, this flyer, this phone call, this email is false, and here's the real information, because that's the danger of these kind of people that operate in the shadows of this whole democracy and put this false information out. So we want to make sure that we're countering it, but we also strengthen the laws. And unfortunately, this entire debate about restrictive ID laws, this entire debate about restricting ability to vote, has all been in the name of fighting voter fraud, when really these kind of tactics, these nefarious tactics about tricking voters into voting incorrectly or not voting at all, that is the real fraud that's being perpetrated on democracy. And unfortunately, too many governors and state legislators decided to take a different path and go down a path of choosing what ID voters need to vote, as opposed to passing laws that we think would strengthen our government.
Well, Eric Marshall, this notion of voter fraud is being clearly pushed by the Republican Party and big Republican donors. And even Fox News, during the recall election in Wisconsin, they set up a special voter fraud task force, which they promoted on air, again, with this idea that the fraud exists when statistics make it pretty clear that it doesn't. And it's interesting, I was just watching after the final and third and final debate the other night, the Fox News ran a focus group conducted by Frank Lutz, and this was supposed to be a bunch of independent voters, when it was clear that they were all hand-picked ideologues who were billed as having voted for Obama in 2008 and now had buyer's remorse. But as the focus group proceeded, it became clear that these people were just spitting venom about Obama, and it's impossible to believe that they ever voted for him in any case. But I bring this up because Frank Luntz has apparently did a focus group for these three films, these DVDs that are now showing up in people's mailbox. The most egregious of all is a DVD that claims that Obama is the love child of an illicit relationship between his mother and Frank Marshall Davis, a Communist Party loyalist. Again, this DVD, that's not in the category of that you're dealing with, right? That's just a good old-fashioned dirty trick?
You know, what we do with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Law, we do with Election Protection, is we're trying to make sure that eligible Americans who wish to participate in democracy can. And we're focused on, you know, providing the resources and tools for the 1-866-R-VOTE hotline and the 866rvote.org website, and to make sure that voters have that information they need. If they have questions or problems, they can reach us through those means. If there are things that we see out there that inhibit the ability of people to go out and vote on Election Day, whether it's by election officials not properly training poll workers, not properly processing registration forms, election officials purging rolls inaccurately and catching eligible Americans, World War II veterans sometimes, in these citizenship purges, if it's, you know, politicians trying to choose what ID voters need to show to participate in our democracy, you know, restricting the ability of community groups to go out in their communities and help voters register so they can become empowered. You know, those are the things that we're focused on and things that we're trying to prevent, because we want to make sure that our democracy and the ability of people to get to that ballot box, to be able to vote effectively, that they have the resources they need. And if there are things that we think, whether it's politicians or the system or the structures or third-party groups, are staying in their way, we want to do things, we want to take steps to stop that. And that's what we're focused on in this election.
So, Eric Marshall, what happens on Election Day? There's a rumor afoot that there's going to be an awful lot of poll watchers, poll monitors, I'm not sure the exact term, that will be largely sent out by the Republican Party. And apparently under law, and elections, of course, are state issues, so I imagine there's a patchwork of laws here involved. But since all of the money and attention is on the swing states, you know, just focusing on them is easy. There's so few of them, and I guess the rest of the country doesn't even know there's an election going on. But if you have, as some people expect, a lot of these people showing up that will challenge voters as they line up to vote, my understanding is that's actually legal, even though it smacks of Jim Crow.
You know, most states have laws in place in terms of what people can do inside and outside a polling place. And there are states that permit credentialed individuals to challenge eligibility of voters, and the laws vary. We take any time, any hint or inkling of people that we feel might be over-aggressive inside a polling place or taking steps that we think could inhibit the ability of people to vote very seriously. At the same time, oftentimes these are more scare stories and scare tactics than anything else. There's a lot of smoke, and oftentimes the fire is a lot smaller than the smoke, because if you're trying to keep people from voting, you're going to make statements about how difficult it's going to be. You want to make it sound like there's going to be a lot of challenging, and it's too much of a hassle. And, you know, that oftentimes has a bigger impact, and what's behind it is not as big. And so we're obviously going to, through the Election Protection Coalition, we have been and we're going to continue to work with county and state election officials to make sure that they follow the policies and law in those states, and that people that would restrict the ability of people to vote, if that happens, we hear about it through the 1-866-R-VOTE hotline, our field programs, that we remove them. But also, it's equally important. So while we're going to remain vigilant, while we're working with election officials, while we're going to monitor the problems on Election Day, it's important that voters know that voting most often is and should be easy. And if you know what your your registration is up to date and you're properly registered, you know what identification you need to bring with you on Election Day. States have various identification rules. We're not just talking about photo ID. Some states you need to bring a non-photo ID with you. So you know what you need to bring with you, and you know where you vote, your polling place and your precinct, because some polling places have more than one precinct. If you as an American voter know all of those things going into the polling place on Election Day, then voting should be easy. And if you have a problem arises, you know to say no, not to be turned away. And you should know to call us at 1-866-OUR-VOTE, where you can find out the information about your registration, ID, and polling place, but also report a problem so we know about it and we can address it immediately. And we feel that if all voters become voting VIPs by taking those steps, that voters will not have a problem on Election Day and will have what we strive for in our democracy, which is a day where majority of Americans come out and vote and they're able to vote for the candidate of their choice.
But if you have these billboards that seem to be designed because they have been placed in minority areas, particularly African-American areas in the inner cities of Cleveland and Cincinnati in the key swing state of Ohio, now, admittedly, they've been taken down, but the intention would seem pretty clear that people are being warned that they're going to be somehow pulled over and charged with a $10,000 fine or given 3.5 years in jail I'm just curious to try and figure out where such lists exist to have the evidence to challenge people. What are these people going to be doing? You know, just looking at the people lined up? I mean, it seems to sort of smack of profiling to me.
That's definitely a concern. How does one know what an eligible voter looks like? How does one recognize who someone is not properly registered is? Some of that is subjective, and we definitely are concerned that if someone that's not fully understand the process and why someone could be in a certain circumstance, they don't understand what that means, they could engage in profiling, which could impact and inhibit certain types of voters, particularly communities of color. And this is not new. There have been tactics in past elections, where there have been attempts to challenge voters of a particular race or a particular age group and keep them from voting. It's unfortunate that certain people view voter suppression as a campaign tactic. It's an unfortunate aspect of our democracy. We think it's wrong, and we're trying to stop it. But it does happen, and it is sometimes targeted at certain voters.
Well, I've seen a film taken, I think, in the 50s, of Justice Rehnquist, then a lawyer, challenging people at the polls in Arizona, I think it was. He later became the head of the Supreme Court. So there's clearly a tradition, if you will, of this kind of activity. But I take it that the main point that you're trying to make here to our audience is that people should be aware that this is a possibility, but more importantly, should recognize that they should not be intimidated.
Yes. You bring up a good point. There's a history of these kind of tactics. What's happening this election cycle, whether it's their politicians choosing restrictive forms of ID, attacks on community-based registration groups, this idea of these challenges at the polling place to remove people who shouldn't be voting from the rolls, these aren't new tactics. These aren't new arguments and debates. We've been having them since Jim Crow laws and since emancipation, since after Reconstruction. And we're continuing to have these fights, unfortunately, and it just shows that there's more work for us to do to achieve the ideals in our country. And I'm sure your listeners are upset right now and frustrated about what they're hearing or what they've been reading about. Well, the most important way that you guys can fight back against this is to be informed voters to vote and to make sure that your friends and family, they vote and they are empowered and they have the information. Be organizers for democracy. Go to our website, 866ourvote.org, and download voter rights flyers. Tell your family about the 1-866-OUR-VOTE hotline. If you live in other states, other cities, spread the word. Make sure everyone knows. We have a smartphone app that's available on all smartphones. You can get by texting Our Vote, OURVOTE, to 90975. That's Our Vote to 90975. Get that app and become informed, but also inform and empower your communities. If we all do our part and make sure that everyone we know is properly empowered to vote on Election Day, then that's how we're going to fight back against this voter suppression.
Well, just in closing, Eric Marshall, is there any sense, do you have a sense that this is going to be better or worse this year than other years? My understanding is I get all kinds of paranoid mail about, black box voting and stuff and how the machines are controlled by Romney's family and stuff like that. Not suggest that maybe the son has invested in the company, but you talk to Democratic officials, they don't seem to be worried. They say, we've got a good ground game, and we've learned from what happened in Ohio in 2004. So what's your sense of in the overall picture of voter suppression? Is this going to be better or for worse, or for example, the Democrats who feel that that the 2004 vote was stolen in Ohio, are they more proactive?
I mean, look, every election cycle, I'm sure there are people like me and other people that will say this is the worst I've seen it. This is going to be the biggest problems in Election Day. This is going to happen. It happens in every election. We get caught up. It's 2 weeks away. People get caught up in the stories, and I think this is worse than it was 4 years ago. Clearly, there are things that have happened in the last couple of years that do cause us to worry. Like I said, there are problems with our system of elections. We register through a system, a paper-based registration system that was created in the 19th century by the Whig Party. It's outdated, it's cumbersome, it's wasteful. And in 2006, it led to between 4 and 6 million eligible Americans on the outside of our democracy. But what we did not do in the subsequent years was to address it. We decided to, or not we, but certain leaders in states decided that they wanted to pass laws that we feel restrict the ability of people to vote. So there are problems with our system of election that have not been addressed. You have always a part, you know, and it's becoming a more partisan environment. People are politicizing the act of voting. So there are concerns that exist out there. You know, there are voting law changes that have happened in a number of states, and there have been changes to those changes because we've been very successful at fighting in the courts. So you have more, you know, potential for more confusion. So there are issues out there that are of concern, and they, while I, you know, this has been going on for a number of years, things change. Every year is a little different. So yeah, there are things, reasons for people to be concerned, and I think that there is a reason to be vigilant. But again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the most important thing is that voters know their rights, they know what they need to bring with them, they know they're registered, they know where they're supposed to vote, and they know to call us at 1-866-OUR-VOTE if they have a problem. And hopefully, on election day, our phones won't be ringing, and we will be, you know, I'd love to be kicking back and not doing much. I think I will be busy, but I think, you know, I think it's important to you know, measure the rhetoric and be concerned, but, you know, the majority of Americans are going to go to the polls and they're going to vote, and that's what's important. And they're not going to have a problem, and that's what's important. And their vote's going to count, and that's what's important. And, you know, after the election, we'll continue to work, and we'll continue to bring issues to legislators, and we'll try to create a more modern system of voter registration that meets the 21st century. We'll try to get laws that are passed to combat deceptive and practices and voter intimidation, and we'll try to expand the ability of people to vote early. We're going to continue to try to improve the system every election year, use this as a lesson and evidence to try to improve the system.
Well, Eric Marshall, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Eric Marshall, who's the manager of legal mobilization for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. He's also the co-leader of Election Protection, the nation's largest voter support coalition, and plays a leading role in several election reform coalitions aimed at combating voter suppression legislation and advocating for policies that will expand access to our democracy. We're going to take a brief station break and we're back and go to Indiana to talk about the Republican candidate for Senate who said that pregnancies resulting from rape are what God intended. Oh, you see that?